Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Studios on this Monday. You know what that means? Rob, how are you, bud?
Pretty good. Morning. Hola.
I saw you holding a slab up.
That's right. That's right.
You wore them out this weekend.
We did. We had a good time. Me and Crappie Carota and Church went down there and got on them pretty good. Up there. We was in Missouri, and, man, we had a good time.
I love the photo editing software that you're using. Nice sunshine, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I've gotten to be quite the artist, if you will. And, you know, Mama always wanted me to bust out my creative side, and I think she'd be proud if I showed her these drawings I've been doing. Did you see the one I made for Patrick Stone from Grenada Lake? Crappie guys, he had one, and some guy tried to do what I did. It was not up to my standards, so I redid it and drew the water in the background and a sunshine and a boat and the poles from the spider rigs coming out. It was a thing of beauty.
Oh. Hey, listen, I've gotten tons of messages from different people asking me. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did the Mondays with Robin. You talked about the DNA test. Have you gotten the results back yet?
I haven't yet. I sent it in last week. I think it takes a few weeks. My sister did it, and I'm hoping that we have different fathers because hers was pretty boring. But I said something in front of Mom the other day. I was like, well, hopefully, you know, maybe we have different fathers. And she never responded. And she's been nervous the whole time we've been doing this, so I got a feeling we have different parents. I don't know who I know who my dad is because we look alike and act alike, but I don't know who she could be. She could be from a totally different clan. I don't know, but I can't wait to get mine. I've already submitted my DNA sample. It was hard to do because every time I would think about submitting my sample, I was either drinking beer or drinking coffee, and I was like, should I do this right now? And so it took me about a week to finally get my sample in, and I hope they don't send it back. But, I mean, now I know the feds got my DNA and all that, but whatever. I mean, they probably already had it. But I can't wait to see what I am. I'm really excited. I hope I'm a smorgasbord of everything.
You know, I've been thinking on this whole black helicopter conspiracy thing with the DNA. Here's my deal. If the government wants your DNA, wouldn't they get it from you when you're a baby at the hospital?
Yeah, but what if you were born in 1980 and you didn't have DNA then? But, you know, now what's happening is Ancestry.com and all these things are charging you $100 to do it, and then the government's paying them whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's $10 or $100. So they're double-dipping, and it's genius. I get it. You know, I'm jealous I didn't think about it. But, and who knows if the stuff they send you is even true. Like, my sister, they send her, like, third and fourth cousins. Like, some of these people, like, what? Fourth cousin? That's like, I mean, you could marry your fourth cousin and never know it. I may be married to my cousin. I'll find out when I get the results.
I'll say this. I've seen a lot of people post their results on social media. And one common theme that I find is a lot of people have Irish in them. And a lot of people have, is it, East African, somewhere right there in the central part of Africa. A lot of people have that blood in them.
Yeah, they said Amy got hers back, and it said that one of my distant relatives was Corporal John Robert Croom. And I was like, yes! See there? Freaking corporal, didn't even know it.
Was he black or white?
He was white, but I expect to have a bunch of African American black folks in my family, and I look forward to it. I embrace it with open arms, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of available funds to you if you have some minority in you.
You know, man, when I went to college, I could have gotten, maybe a minority scholarship to Jackson State or, you know, somewhere, and really got my education cheap instead of paying this stupid student loan every month. I hope it comes back. I'm going to sue and see if I can't get some of my money back. Somebody the other day on one of my posts on Duck South said that I must have eaten paint chips when I was a kid. And I just wanted to address that. What sizes do those fluorescent light bulbs come in? Like the old round light bulbs?
5 foot. They're 60 inches probably.
I'll go with that. So when I was a kid, I was about 3 or 4, I guess. I was in my grandmother's house, and she was up sewing or doing something, making vegetable beef soup probably. And I found one of those bulbs and stuck it in a light socket. I was like, what could go wrong? And it turned into the most epic Star Wars recreation ever. Like, the whole thing, I don't know how it survived it. The whole thing made an explosion like you've never seen. I don't know how it didn't burn the house down. But just to let that guy know, no, I didn't eat paint chips. I ate fluorescent bulb chips, which are way more potent.
I'm sorry. Thinking about you getting shocked. Let me tell you something. I think that all of us, that's one thing that will all bring us together as a group. All of us got shocked at some point in our childhood, whether it be a plug or whether it be by electric fence.
Electric fence,
man,
is a killer.
Oh, man, I'll never forget two things. The first time I ever peed on an electric fence, and the second time, the second one that I remember, the first time my buddy spit on an electric fence after eating sweet tarts. You know, that long, dangling lookie? The common theme between both of them is there's this pink spark that comes up your pee or up that loogie. And it's like you're watching it in slow motion when it happens. So last week, you proposed in the group message that you were going to go into the group message, and anybody that could run the 40 in 5 flat, you said, who did you predict was going to be the first one that said they could?
I think I predict Patrick, but then I also predicted Estes would come in there pretty strong. But I think I actually, did I say 5-5 or 5? But anyway, there's three of them that think they could do it, and there's no way they can. I don't care what they say, because what I'm going to do is, you know how Notre Dame lets the grass grow when they're playing fast teams? That's what I'm going to do. We're going to put this baby on a field with some tall grass. We're going to see we're not running this baby on turf. We're not going to the combine. We're running this baby in a field. Preferably a cattle farm, and we're going to see who can do it. And I guarantee you there's nobody in that group that can do it. And I don't know how old Josh is, but he said he could do it. He may be like some crazy fast person, but there's no way. And then they started getting into the test drive throw kicked in. Well, we'll play y'all at golf for blah, 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 blah. They don't know that I can play golf. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, Jesse thinks he could do it. I told him the only reason he could even get close is because that bald noggin of his. There's nobody in that group and he tried to tell me, he's like, oh, yeah, I can do it. I ran a what a blah, blah, blah back in blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you can't. Why do these people think they can do it? Do you know how fast you have to be to run a 5-second 40? I mean, you have to be able to, you have to have wheels.
Jesse thinks he's aerodynamic.
Jesse thinks he's aerodynamic, and Josh Webb, I don't know. I guess maybe he's just fast and whatever, but he's not going to do it. Patrick, there's no way. But the quote of the whole thing was when Esty said, there's no way. He said, I will die after I run it. So him saying that just drew me a little closer to Esty. I love it when he comes out and says stuff like that. He just draws me in closer.
So did Patrick say he could do it or couldn't do it?
I believe Patrick said he could do it. But, I mean, there's all these stipulations, like what beer is going to be at the end of the line and what's this and that. Everybody's got all these stipulations. I'm like, nah, Buck, you said you could run it. Let's see it. There's probably – how many people are in that group? Like 10?
10.
I bet you there's six that can't run a 6.5.
I would be one of those.
Me too. Me and you could hold hands and run it and get a 10 flat. it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Somebody said, it's Patrick. How long do we have to prepare? Buddy, you can start preparing today and we'll have it next spring and you're not running a 5 flat. Like, what is preparing going to do? It's just going to make you realize you can't do it.
If we were to take up a bet with Patrick to run this, it would be a stipulation. He would have to run it in the hat.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about that. Oh, my God. The video of that. Maybe somebody should talk to Drake and we could all wear some Drake fishing gear or something and see how fast we could. That may make you faster. The Jones hat may be like Bang energy drink with creatine. It may make you faster, better, more focused. I didn't even think about this. This is genius. We got to make some phone calls. Because I guarantee you, if I run it in my Sitka, first of all, you won't be able to see me. All you'll see is my white face. Second of all, I will smoke everybody. Because I get superpowers when I wear my Sitka. It's perfect. That's a great idea. We'll have Sitka versus Drake versus Bandit. We should race some waiters, too. This is it. Perfect. We'll have a 40-yard dash in normal clothes, 40-yard dash in our waiters. Everybody wear their respective brands. 40-yard dash in our hats. You know, I'll wear my neck gaiter. I don't care. I mean, what? This is going to be perfect. This is great. That was a great idea. I'm more excited now than I was before. I'm going to say in the waiters, nobody's going to break. I'll break a 10 in my Sitka just because they got all that traction and they're so lightweight. Nobody in the other two major brands are going to break a 10. Nobody.
Oh, yeah. All right, so... Hey, another big thing happened over the weekend. We got to talk about it. I know that people outside of the Mississippi area don't want to hear about it, but what about the day or the weekend that Mississippi and Ole Miss and Mississippi State athletes had at the combine?
Yeah, wow. Marquez Sweat, I mean, holy mackerel, somebody's going to use him as a running back.
You can't do anything but brag on that guy. A freaking 260-pound defensive lineman running a 4.42.
You know, if you're Ole Miss right now and you've got Knox, Metcalf, Brown, what's the kid from Texas? The good receiver. And you've got
Lodge,
thank you. You got Greg Little. Greg Little. And so you got to be thinking, you're averaging 20-something points a game. Phil Longo should be in jail somewhere. He should be in Pritchard, in jail. He should be locked up and never allowed to do anything ever again. I mean, I know Metcalf got hurt, but you still have all these other receivers, and you've got Metcalf shows up to the combine and runs a 4.3, and his body fat is 1.3 or 6 or something. I bet mine is 23.6.
He looks non-human. He looks like a mutant.
And I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, we've been watching him for 3 years. I don't know what's going to happen when he goes pros. You never know with these receivers. But he is a specimen.
I would say, based on his draft position pre-combine until after the combine, he just made an extra $10 million for going to that combine.
Easily. And, you know, in the NFL, if you could just make it 6 years, which is hard to do, but for a receiver, it's a lot easier than a running back. But if you could make it 6 years, I think it is, before you get pension, I mean, dude, just make it. All you got to do is make it 6 years. And then you're set for life.
Hey, speaking of big contracts, what about Harper? What about that whole deal?
Yeah. Man, I don't get it with him. I guess it's because he's – I don't know. I don't get it. I think there's a lot better players out there. I mean, I don't know. He seems like the type of person that I would get in a fight with and get beat up.
His contract was $330 million. What in the world? Largest contract ever. That's unbelievable.
I forgot how many thousands of dollars that was per inning. They said it was like $46,000 an inning or something.
He makes $70,000 a game. No, it's $70,000 a game.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, $70,000 a game. Poor guy. And there's 126 games?
162,
sorry, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty good payday for playing, throwing a little white ball around and hitting it and catching it. That's really all there is to it.
I mean, if he gets hurt next year, that check keeps rolling in. I'm sure he probably has a guaranteed amount.
Yeah, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, and Elizabeth's always like, hey, you know, JG wants to play travel soccer. And I'm like, no. She's like, why? And I'm like, because neither of these kids are going to be pro athletes. All my hunting and fishing will be completely ruined. Your weekends will be ruined. These people travel all over the Mid-South to watch their kids play soccer. And, yeah, they're better because they practice 9 days a week. And you're paying $5,000 a week for them to do this. I'm not doing it. I had scholarships to play baseball. I didn't play stupid travel balls. I was out hanging out with my friends chasing frogs and snakes around in a creek. Give me a freaking break. If they want to play, they'll play. I can't deal with it, man.
Why do so many parents these days think that their kids are going to be a college or professional athlete?
I forgot. Do you remember what the percentage is for the actual college? The percentage for a D1 student, I mean a D1 athlete is extremely low, and the percentage of the NFL or pro baseball or whatever.
Hey, y'all, how are you?
Thank you.
Have a good day.
The percentage for that is ridiculous.
People,
like, it's not even worth.
Rob Kroom at the bank this morning.
Yep. Gotta get to the bank. Never. You know, don't want to get those overdraft charges.
So, go ahead. So, go ahead. I interrupted you.
I'm not doing that, man. I'm just not doing it. I mean, more power to these people that do it. I've got friends that do it, and I'm like, man, how do you do it? It's every weekend, and you're everywhere in the world. It's not like you're in Jackson every weekend. You're in Olive Branch. You're in Oxford. You're in, you know, Kentucky, Paducah. I mean, all these places. I'm like, what? No. No. My kids, look. I know their limitations because I have them too. One of my kids has the flattest foot. It's almost as flat as mine. He's not going to run a 6 flat, okay? I mean, whatever. Let's just get that. Let's just be honest with one another. Yeah, he's really good. He's athletic. He's good at these little sports with these other 7-year-olds. We're not talking about NFL and Major League players. And JG, he's not freaking Pele. Yeah, he's good. He's better than all the other kids on the field when he plays other 7-year-olds. He's not Pele. So, no, I'm not putting him in travel soccer and travel baseball. I'm not doing it. I played serious baseball, and I never did that crap. You either got it or you don't, man. These kids, these parents, they're like, oh, we got to get him in there because he's really good with his other players, and he enjoys it with his friends. How do they not get burned out? I would be pissed off.
Here's my whole deal with it. Is how do you afford it, man? I've heard some of my buddies talking about it being $800 to $1,100 or $1,200 a weekend. I could afford it. I don't want to afford it.
I tell you how you can afford it, but you can't afford to do anything else because that's all you're doing is eating nachos and popcorn and Gatorades at a freaking baseball game when it's 46 degrees for half the month of March when they start. And you're sitting out there freezing your ass off watching 8-year-olds play baseball, and you're paying them like better than the college kids get paid. They're paying for them to play more than the college kids get on their whatever that's called, to eat and whatever.
All right, I got the statistics for you. I pulled it up while you were talking.
Okay.
7% of senior athletes in high school will go on to play JUCO, D3, D2, or D1. Less than 3% will make it to D1. But here's the big one. 0.003 will make it to professional sports.
Exactly. So you're spending all this money on, you might as well go buy a Powerball ticket every week because you got the same odds. I mean, I've got a really good friend. Well, Chirpy, he played golf. He played golf real seriously, and he got a scholarship, but he was shooting like 65 every day. I mean, I get it. And by the time he got done, he hated golf. So, yeah, I mean, let him go do whatever. But he would, I mean, what? Man, whatever. I mean, I don't know because I don't know. And I've got a lot of friends that do it, so I don't want them listening to this and think I'm being a punk about it, but I'm not doing it with my kids, and if they want to do it, I guess eventually, then I'm going to have to leave it up to them at some point, but we're not, you know, they're going to have to start mowing yards or something to make some money.
All right, so...
Or raking the neighbor's leaves.
I'm going to ask you about that in just a second, but, all right, so I was at the NWTF 2 weeks ago, and Matthew Duff, somebody that I grew up with, he played college baseball and I could play college basketball at a junior college together. And I don't even know how this came up, but Duff starts talking about these kids in sports today. And he made some of the most amazing points I've ever heard of. And he kind of goes back to what you're saying. Man, he didn't play sports every single day of his life. He didn't play baseball every day. You know what? He was hunting some. He was fishing some. He was having fun with his buddies. And when it was time to go to work and practice, he practiced hard. But then Adam LaRoche walked up, and they both started talking about it. And I'm just sitting there in amazement listening to these two talk about it, how people have just gone mad with these travel sports.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see the statistics since the travel ball got real serious. When we were kids, you didn't have travel ball. We didn't have travel ball when I was a kid. You know, I would play on like 3 different counties' little league teams. That was considered travel ball for me, and that wasn't that hard. You played, what, 2 games a week? One of them would get rained out. You know, I was having fun. I liked it. My parents would just drop me off. They're like, have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd go to every once in a while. And, you know, then I, you know, play just fun, like, you know, county ball and stuff. And then I go to prep school, and they play a bunch. We played a bunch of games for that. I mean, this is back in the late 90s. We were playing, like, 45 games. And back then, that was a bunch. Like, we were playing 10 or 15 games more than my high school team at home. You know, but we didn't have anything else to do. We were up there in boarding school, and what else were we going to do? Sit around and watch Days of Our Lives? So we liked it. But now they're playing, I think they're playing 60 games now here in high school, and the travel ball kids are playing like, what, 100?
Yeah.
They play those tournaments, they'll play 3 or 4 games a day. What? For what? I want to know the percentage since 2010 of the travel ball kids that go on to get scholarships at a college level. I don't care if it's D3 and you get a foreign language scholarship and they use that to get you on the baseball team. I want to know what the percentage is, because the money, what if you invested that $800 a month into a fund or something that's got compound interest? You'd have so much money to retire. You could do whatever you wanted to do for the rest of your life. Let your freaking kids pay for college. Let them be an adult. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You think they're going to go play for Tennessee or freaking Arkansas? I mean, I don't get it. But, I mean, you know, whatever. If the kids are having fun, that's what it's about. But if it's the parents doing it because the parents want to do it and see it and have their kid, that's where it's getting messed up. And I have three or four of my friends that their kids are badasses. I mean, I watch them and I'm like, that kid's going to be good. But how good is good?
Do you think some parents are trying to relive missed opportunities through their own children?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes I think that my kids are getting to where they're starting to ask me to go hunting and fishing. And so we're fixing to get into that together. And we're, you know, they don't know this yet, but they're pretty damn lucky when it comes to hunting because I'm really lucky and have some really good spots to hunt. And they don't understand this yet, but they're going to have some good places to hunt and kill some stuff if that's what they want to do. You know, my son will come home and say, you know, so-and-so's been hunting since he was four. I'm like, yeah, well, so-and-so's probably bored and probably goes with his dad to deer hunt and shoots a doe every four weekends or whatever. You know, I'm going to take you somewhere that's going to be so much shooting, you're going to be scared. So I have to be careful when I take you, you know, and kill these butterballs and stuff. So, you know, it's a totally different deal. I'm one of those, sometimes I think that I don't push them enough because I try to stand back and let them decide and let them feel like I want to do this or you know, this is not my decision, but hey, mom or dad, I think I'd like to play soccer or I don't want to play soccer this year like my twin brother, but I want to play baseball or whatever. They're 7 years old. I'm not forming them into, like, something crazy right now. I'm not pressuring them to hunt. Everybody's like, why don't you got your boys hunting? I'm like, because I don't want to pressure them and them hate it. I want them to decide when they think they're ready, and we'll go through the safety parts of it, let them shoot targets, let them, if they want to go deer hunting, shoot deer. I'm not going to take them to a freaking sticks limit duck hunt where you get done in 2 hours because it's too much. It's overwhelming. So, yeah, one of them may take to it and go crazy and want to do it every day, and that's fine. But I'm not going to sit here and do that because I don't think it's fair for the kids. I didn't start hunting seriously until I was 9 or 10. And when I say seriously then, I'd go 8, 9, 10 times a year. But I loved it. I wanted to go. I didn't care if we killed a duck. I bet I killed like 10 ducks the first year I hunted. I didn't care. I loved it. I wanted to be out there. I don't care. It doesn't matter, you know? So, I don't know. I kind of compare it to that. And sometimes I feel like I don't push them enough. But that's how I'm doing it. And I may be weird or I may not be doing it right. Who knows what's right and what's wrong? I don't know. Nobody ever wrote a book that I read that says this is how you parent. But that's how I feel about it. So, that's what I'm going to do. You know? And my parents, you know, my parents did their thing. And it's, I mean, look at me. I'm completely normal.
Hey, I got a crazy theory for you. You love to hear my crazy theories.
Yes.
I see a weakening of the quality in professional athletes in the future. And here's my reason why. These big college football players and baseball players that you see walking around here at Ole Miss or see them in restaurants, they're married to these little bitty tiny little girls. These women, they may be like 5'1", 85 pounds wet.
Yeah.
So you start crossing those genetics up, you're not going to get very good results.
Well, you know, like I said, when I get this DNA test back, it's gonna show a lot. But, yeah, I agree with you. That's kind of a good point. You know, that's a good point. And it kind of goes along, let's go ahead and throw it with duck hunting. Me and Spence on the phone one day talking about ducks and what's going on and having our little back and forth. We're not getting on the internet and posting about how DU is ruined hunting and all that. We're having a civil conversation about what we think is going on. And I said something to Spencer. I said, you know, the thing is, too, is that I think, you know, maybe we don't have the numbers getting down here that we had in late 90s and mid 2000s to about 2015. And he said, well, I've kind of got a little theory about it, too. And I said, what's that? He said, think about how many people now are going to Canada. And I said, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty smart. It's the same thing as you're saying. If you keep doing this over and over, things are going to change. The genetics are going to change. The ducks are going to change. We're still going to kill ducks. We're going to get cold fronts next year, and everybody's going to kill the crap out of them and be like, hey, this is Yeah, they imprinted. This is going to be, it's going to be normal, or maybe it takes 2 years. It doesn't matter. They're eventually going to get back to where they were. And the people that are going to be back on average with numbers. But it's the same thing. It's kind of the same thing to me. And maybe I'm crazy, but that's how I feel about it.
I agree with you. Hey, I got one more before we close it out. Before we get to it, what about the neighbors? Seen them?
Man,
heard from them?
I haven't seen the neighbors. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, my neighbors literally beside me, like the neighbors beside my house, put their house for sale. I told you that a few weeks ago, and then took the sign out of the yard. So I don't know if they were like, okay, the dude's hunting and fishing a lot more. I think we can make it. Or what, but they're the ones, the dude's wife gets out there and push mows their yard. And it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. If I asked my wife to mow the yard, I wouldn't have laundry done in my house for 6 weeks. It would be the biggest laundry strike ever. But I get out there on my 72-inch Kubota diesel and mow my yard in 11 minutes. I can't even drink a beer, it's so fast. And I mow it in 11 minutes, and she's out there still pushing the front yard. And I kind of feel bad, but, I mean, I'm not paying somebody to do it.
Hey, I got a deal for you. I'm about to see Roy in. We're about to have a meeting together. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to film her face. I'm going to say, darling, we need to go to the lawnmower shop. I want to see which lawnmower fits your butt better, the best. Because I want you to cut the grass this spring, start this spring. I'll just get a video of her face when I say that. I'll send it to you.
Tell her something like we're going to start turkey hunting more, and Rob called, and you're going to be going up to Tennessee and doing a lot more turkey hunting, and you're going to need her to mow the yard.
I'll get her face for you.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great.
All right,
I'm gonna start posting my art, my beautiful art on my Instagram page. So if you want to get on there and look at it, I'm gonna have I got two pictures for today that are gonna go on there. I think it's gonna be beautiful.
See, I think you should post one a week. There's programs out there now that allow you to download. I get an email a week from my kid's class where he draws this artwork. God help him. I love Big Meat. He's one of the finest kids in the world. He sucks at drawing. And I get these emails of his artwork, buy it in a necklace, buy it in a plate, you know, buy it on a cup, one of your coffee cups or something. I'm like, dog face to look at that every day and scare me.
Don't give up on him yet. He may be like me and be a late bloomer, because my art now, I'm surprised somebody hadn't called me from a museum somewhere, because these babies are.
You.
Okay, well, see, he's got time. Let him mold him into the art. I'll help him. Let me mentor him. Show him my artwork.
It's like a scene out of a movie when I show it to him and I said, "Hey, bud, what is this?" "Oh, that's a snowman, Daddy." And you flip it all four ways on your phone. You're like, "Oh, okay, I see that now." But
I see it now.
Anyway, all right, so I wanted to end with this note. You and I were both on Facebook Live for Bobby Joe's concert on Thursday night. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a Thursday night at the Slide and Ride here in Jackson.
I wonder, first off, they get this. Who's providing the bus ride for the family to the concert?
I think it's local people that are doing it for him. The one he had in Martin, I think they took a limo, but the one they had here, his whole family was there. I'm kind of upset that I wasn't there, but that was 2 hours past my bedtime, and I just happened to have enough energy drinks to keep me up to watch it. I don't know if you've heard this yet, but, you know, Bobby got up there and sang some songs, some tunes, and, you know.
Well, that's
Bobby
what prettier. I would get to. Go ahead and tell the story. That's what I want you to do.
Well, they should have let if they would just let Bobby get up there with me or somebody else and tell stories, it would be way more entertaining than his singing, because the dude has some hilarious stories, like talking about seeing cougars at his house and mountain lions. He told me and Jonathan Warrington one day that he saw a panda bear at his house in the backyard. And he's got great stories. So if they had any sense at all, they'd let him get up there and tell stories. But anyway, he got drunk. He got bad. They got him drunk. It doesn't take much from Bobby because he weighs like 90 pounds, and he's not the healthiest person in the world. But anyway, so they got him drunk, and he was up there trying to take a triple shot of tequila, which for anybody is a horrible idea. If you drink tequila out there, God bless you. So anyway, he gets drunk and says something to his brother Brandon, and Brandon punches him and knocks him out. They had to call an ambulance. They called an ambulance to come get him. I thought he passed out. No, that's what everybody was saying. His brother knocked him out. Brandon had had enough of Bobby Joe's fandom. Brandon's always been mad because Bobby Joe got to be Mr. Famous. And Brandon always got mad. He was always mad about it. So I'm sure he had enough and just waylaid him, knocked him out. So I don't know. I mean, you know, if anybody's listening that is a promoter, get Bobby Joe up there to tell stories. It'll be way more entertaining. You'll sell way more beer. And, I mean, you know, get to what he's good at. His stories are incredible. I wish I still had on video with me and John let him shoot his AR one day. And I've never been that scared in my life. And I've been around a lot of scary situations. I literally ran, ducked, and covered, stopped, dropped, and rolled, and prayed while all of this was going on. It had one of those stocks on it that would let it shoot bump stock or something. It was so scary that I was like, please run out of bullets. Please run out of bullets. Like, I didn't know. I thought he was going to shoot John's truck. He was just flailing around everywhere, just spraying and praying. And I was like, oh, my. I was hiding. I've never been that scared in my life. That was the day we took him to the Mexican restaurant, and we were eating. And that's a scene in itself. And his mouth, he's got a little potty mouth. And so we were like, Bobby, calm down. Don't say that. So this waiter walks up. He's like, hey, your name's Bobby Joe, eh? And he was like, yeah, man, yeah. He's like, we're some of your friends, man. We watch you every night, man. And he was like, oh, cool. I'm Mr. Famous. And so he was all pumped up. So by the time he shot that AR-15, he was feeling himself pretty good.
So let me play it out how I saw it. I was on at the same time watching him sing. So I wake up at 6 the next morning. And I'm, of course, when somebody comes on live, one of your friends, and I guess if you've watched it in the past, you know, it gives you a notification. So I turn it on, and Bobby's on Facebook Live at 6 or 6:15 that morning without a shirt. And Bobby has a huge bruise right on his breastbone. Did they do CPR on him?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't gotten the rest of the story. I just know that Bobby definitely had a pop knot somewhere on his head. And I don't know, like, if Brandon's still probably trolling him about it, but I wish I would have seen it. I wish I would have been there for that. I can't stay out that late anymore unless I have somebody with me to take care of me and make sure I get home, but...
Well, you talk about a reality show. You put a camera team with that crew and the mom. Wow.
It would last for a little bit, but it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild stuff. There's something to be had. I really like them.
All right, Rob, I enjoyed it. It was good as always. Thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.